Good morning.
Morning.
Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I stand at this pulpit in awe of your word. Father, strengthen me. I can't do this. I need your help. Put the words in my mouth. Open ears, open hearts to receive what you have for each one of us. Thank you so much for this past week, for the trials, the difficulties, the timeliness of this message in my own heart. What I have received, may I give, and help me do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, the context here is important. Once again, we come back to verse 1. Once again, we're going to go through this charge, this eternal charge from Paul to Timothy. And you'll see why. I charge you, I solemnly charge you in the face, or before the face of God, even Christ Jesus, who's about to judge the living and the dead, and is soon appearing in his kingdom. Timothy, you're a herald. Preach the word. Timothy, be ready in season and out of season, in the good times and the bad, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete, perfect, great, and all patience and faithful teaching. For the time or the season is coming where people will not endure the healthy, sound words, sound doctrine, sound teaching, but having itching ears or tickling of the ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. There's this time coming. That's the context here. And this charge for Timothy. These lovers of self are going to accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, to fit the mold that they see for God. And it says they'll turn away. And we just see an example of this. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. He turned away. In verse 4, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off, or be turned over, would be another translation, turned aside into myths. As for you, Timothy, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Timothy has a ministry to fulfill. He has a charge before God. And you see this example of Timothy and Demas kind of compared side by side. Timothy, come, because he left. Timothy, fulfill your ministry, because he abandoned his. Paul says, I'm already, this past tense, being poured out like Jesus Christ. We went through the different offerings, the burnt offering. I'm crucified with Christ, justified. The grain offering, this purification that takes place, and the oil mixed with this pure flour, that sanctification. And now the drink offering poured out. Imagine it on the hot coals and the steam billowing up. A time for celebration, finishing his race, finishing it well. The time of my departure has come. He's pulling up the tent stakes. He's pulling up the anchor. He's unclasping the shackles. He's taking off the yoke. He's fought the good fight like a soldier. He's finished the race like the athlete. And he's kept the faith like a steward, like a farmer. Do your best to come to me soon, Timothy, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas did not fight the good fight. He left the good fight. He did not finish the race. He turned back. He did not keep the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, or the crown that is righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that glorious day. And not only to me, but to all, including you, Timothy, who have loved agape, loved his appearing. And when you look at the word used for Demas loving this present world, it's the same word, agape, the verb form of agape. So who do we love? Where do we put our treasures? Where do we put our time? Where do we put our efforts? Who are we thinking about when we pray? Who are we thinking about as we go about our day? Paul says, do your best. Do thy diligence. That's what I titled this message. I like the King James there because the thy. You know, it's singular. Do your individual diligence, Timothy. Where we see that word also is study to show thyself approved unto God. Do your diligence, Timothy, to study, to be approved unto God. That's your real audience. That's my real audience right now. Make every effort. I need you, Timothy. Do your best to come to me soon. Do your best to come to me quickly. It's the same kind of urgency you see. Christ is coming. This theme of urgency. And why? Well, if we go back to chapter 1, we see how he longs to see Timothy. And we see that again later in chapter 4. I long to see you. He had tears. He wanted that joy of Timothy's presence. But what does the text say? It says, for Demas. Do your best to come to me soon because Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. If you please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read starting from verse 19. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, talking about Timothy's value. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered up by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. And if you would turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, if you don't want to turn, that's all right. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 17 to the end of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Paul was proud of these Thessalonians. They were his glory and joy. They were the ones that Paul was going to show to the Lord. Look, this is the fruit of his labor. The same place that Demas was headed back to. Paul uses similar language in Titus chapter 3, verse 12, asking Titus to come to him soon. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. You see a contrast of faithfulness and unfaithfulness. Jesus says to count the cost. And we think about how that affects us. Okay, I got these 5 oxen, I got a field, I got a new bride, can't make it. I got to bury my father. He says, count the cost. Look at the charge that we have for Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. It's pretty serious language. But hold on, Timothy. Demas, he's got some stuff he's got to do. So wait. Come to me. I need you. Count the cost. When that worker doesn't show up for work, what happens? Everybody else has to pick up the slack. When Demas doesn't show up for his ministry, Paul is telling Timothy, do your best to come to me soon. I don't know a lot about Demas. There's not a lot in Scripture about him. There's a couple references from AD 61 and AD 62 in Philemon and Colossians. We know he's with Luke. We know he's a worker. But we also know that he's with Paul here in prison. Now, I don't know what kind of guest rooms they have, but I'm guessing it was a pretty close bond that they had. He's with Luke. Imagine in your mind, Luke left me. That might be how important he was. We don't know. He was with them in prison, with Luke. And when he left, it stung enough that this eternal charge he gives to Timothy and follows it up with, come to me soon. Do your diligence. Do thy diligence, Timothy, to come to me soon. There's a cost when we're not doing our part. The body functions together. Have you ever, twisted your ankle and your other leg is kind of compensating? You hurt your right hand and now your left hand's doing all sorts of awkward things that it's never done before? You're not exactly at your best, right? When your body has an injury, when something's missing, do your best to come to me soon. The name Demas means governor of the people. It reminds me of Laodicea, people ruling. And we know that Demas was close. And so we have a couple other examples of a disciple turning, being turned aside or turning back, denying their Lord and Savior. If you want to turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Starting with verse 21. And after these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit. Jesus was troubled. Now he knew who Judas was from the beginning. But he was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And get this, the disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. Judas was actually sitting in the honored position next to Christ. He had a good reputation. One of his disciples, who Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter mentioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, John, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Turned over. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do quickly. Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought, get this, because Judas, having the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast. Or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. Do you think Demas knew he was a Demas? Do you think Judas knew he was a Judas? If we keep reading, let's read through it. Verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God also will also glorify him in himself and glory him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. He says it twice. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, third time, if you have love for one another. And we see that Judas isn't the only one to betray Christ. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. And we know at the end of this book of John, Jesus restores Peter. I don't know if Demas was a Peter or a Judas. Seems more like a Judas to me, but I don't know. The Lord knows. What I know is he turned. What I know is he didn't stay the course. Let's turn to Philippians again, this time chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13. Brothers, and this is Paul looking ahead. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Think Demas got kind of revealed here? Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. For Demas, agape, in love with this present world, has deserted, has forsaken, has forsook me and gone, departed. Deserted the Lord's work and deserted the Lord's servant to Thessalonica. You know, a lot of times it's a matter of perspective who our heroes and who our terrorists are. You know, who are the bad guys? Who are the good guys? We live in America. There was a revolution. And those patriots, we call them patriots, but they were called traitors. And there's the saying that history is written by the victors. Have you heard that? I have news. God wins. And he wrote the history books before history took place. Do your diligence. Do your diligence. Let's close in a benediction. My thoughts go to Jesus' instructions sandwiched between the two traitors to love. So let's turn to 1 John chapter 4 and be uplifted. Be encouraged to love one another. 1 John, that's the little ones, back towards the end. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And do thy diligence to love one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We thank you for your word. We thank you for its power. And I ask that anything that I said wrongly or incorrectly would be corrected in the hearing and in the memory of those who have received it. May it do its work and be with Alistair this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.